أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته جماعة المسلمين and our honored guest الشيخ إبراهيم جابريل and also honored إمام مولانا داود السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته It gives me great pleasure to have this task here to introduce our honored guest our most learned Sheikh and most beloved Sheikh. He doesn't need any introduction, but out of love for him and because of honoring our Sheikh, that we do introduce him to the Jamaat. And we are honored to have Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriel as our first speaker here for the month of Ramadan. So alhamdulillah, without any further ado, we're going to call on our honored Alim, Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriel. Falyatafaddal, mashkura ya Sheikh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم لا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين ولا أقل من ذلك Our Honorable Maulana Dawood, and our Honorable Imam Ridwan, and all my beloved mothers and fathers, and beloved sisters and brothers, and honorable youth, I greet you all with the universal greetings of love and peace and mercy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it's a great honor for me to be here today. And alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors that Allah has bestowed upon us. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for honoring us with the greatest favor. And that is that Allah has chosen us and Allah selected us to be part of the ummah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ummah of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not Muslims by chance. We are not Muslims by luck. Allah says in Suratul Hajj, at the end of Suratul Hajj, وَجَتَبَاكُمْ He, Allah, is the one that has chosen you. So we can't thank Allah enough. And this word, Alhamdulillah, must be on our tongues on a day and night, every time. For everything, we just say Alhamdulillah. You know, this word, Alhamdulillah, and to be thankful to Allah is so important that Allah has even made it an ayah in the Quran to praise Nabi Nuh, alayhi salam. Nabi Nuh, was a person that thanked Allah for everything. For example, if he lift up his hand, he says, Alhamdulillah. As he says, Anu vir terug sit, Alhamdulillah. When he lift up his cup to drink water, Alhamdulillah. Everything is just Alhamdulillah. If he stands up, Alhamdulillah. Sits down, Alhamdulillah. So Allah made it a point. And Allah made it an ayah of the Quran to say, Innahu kana abdan shakuran. He, Nuh, was a very thankful and grateful slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, because of that ayah, we now in Portland, for the last 5 or 6 months, part of our dhikr after the Fajr Salah is, Allahumma ja'alni abdan shakuran laka ya Allah. We said 3 times every morning. Allahumma ja'alni abdan shakuran laka ya Allah. Oh Allah, maak for me uksus nabi Nuh. Maak for me a slave that baya thankful and grateful is to you. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. We also bear testimony that no one has got the right to be worshipped except Allah alone. And we also bear testimony that our beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the final and the greatest messenger of Allah. القائل the one that said, لو تعلم أمتي ما في رمضان لتمنت أن تكون السنة كلها رمضان. If only my ummah had to know the great benefits of Ramadan, they would have wished and desire that the whole year was just Ramadan. Every month, there's not Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, no, 12 months, just Ramadan. If only they knew the benefits of the month of Ramadan, Allah sal falanga that the yil ya mud net vis Ramadan. Wa qala aydan, and also khalif sa Nabi Muhammad yaduk khasi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, awla nasi biya, يوم القيامة أكثرهم علي صلاة. The the people closest to me on the day of Qiyamah, and the people first in line to enter the Jannah through the Shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are those Muslimin who have put the most salawat on the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, so before we go to our topic, I just want to make it a point to advise your honorable selves and me first to increase our salawat on our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just think about the hadith again. Rasulullah says, die mense wat geroep word reg voor Ahmed, Muhammad, Khadija, Suraya, you must come to the front. It's going to ask me why. It's been listed, it has been documented that you are one of those people that have put the most salawat on Rasulullah. You're going to stand right in front because you are going to be of those people that will enter Jannah first through the shafa' of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So may Allah grant us that we can, inshallah, bring that major change in our lives to increase our salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And everybody can join me, inshallah, in putting salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Muslimin, I must admit that I just love it when a person comes to me, for example, in 5 years' time and says, Sheikh, can Sheikh remember Sheikh was the first Ramadan by us there in Paukut, and Sheikh advised us to increase the salawat. I just want to give Sheikh the good news that since that day, I minimum put 200 or 300 or 500 salawat every day on the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And may Allah make this gathering to be one of those gatherings wherein Allah is going to forgive all our sins. The Nabi Muhammad says in a hadith, when people are going to recline on their high couches in Jannah, then they're going to say to one another, Imam Ridwan's going to say to me, Sheikh, does Sheikh know why are we in Jannah? He said, no, I don't know. Then he says, I got the information here. That day, that Sunday, the 17th of March, 2024. On that gathering, Allah has forgiven all our sins. That is why we are in Jannah. So may Allah grant this gathering to be one of those gatherings. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. So, my beloved ones, let us now go immediately to our topic. What is your goal for Ramadan? In other words, what do you want to get out of the month of Ramadan? What is your aim of the month of Ramadan? But before we go there, let us first do this important hadith of our beloved Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. An Umar ibn Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam qal, innama al-a'malu bin niyat, wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa, ila akhir al-hadith, to the end of the hadith. It is recorded and narrated from Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, the great leader, the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine that Sayyidina Umar was on his way to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allahu Akbar. And a person that has hided and concealed his iman, he says, Sayyidina Umar, where are you going? He said, I'm going to kill Muhammad. He said, but why don't you first rectify? He said, what do you mean? He said, your sister embraced the deen of Islam. My sister. Toe sy nog meer kwaadere. He goes to his sister. And when the husband of his sister, Sa'id, radiyallahu anhu, heard, Sayyidina Umar is coming, he ran away. Because Sayyidina Umar was a kwaai man gewees. And he asked his sister, did you embrace Islam? She said, yes. He smacked her. And when he saw the blood, he felt, pity and jammerte for his sister. And he says, no, let me read this, what you are reading. She says, you can't read. You must be clean. You must be purified. And he went to do it. And the first ayah he read was, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa, illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. At that moment, Allah changed a heart of darkness to a heart of noor. Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Umar went to the place where Rasulullah gathered, Darul Arkam, and he knocked on the door. And nobody wanted to go to the door because they heard it's Umar ibn Khattab, and the Nabi Muhammad went. And long story in the Kutamak, because we haven't got much time. Sayyidina Umar said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You know, Sheikh Riyad Walls, one of our close friends, one of his du'as is that may Allah grant me to enter the Jannah with Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab. We're not going to speak about Sayyidina Umar because that is a long story, but Sayyidina Umar was one of the greatest leaders ever of this dunya. Alhamdulillah. So Sayyidina Umar narrates this important hadith that the Nabi Muhammad says, innamal a'malu bin niyat. All your good deeds, all your actions will be judged by Allah and will be rewarded by Allah according to your intentions. And whatever you've intended for, you will achieve, says the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is so important that some of the ulama say that 25% of our deen revolves, turn around this hadith of the Nabi Muhammad. Some ulama say 50% of our deen turn around this hadith. Some say 75%. Believe it or not, there are some ulama that say the whole deen of Islam revolves around this hadith of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That all your actions will be judged by Allah according to your intentions. So one of my teachers in Madinah to Munawwara, he said to us one day, the problem with the Muslim Ummah is not that they've got bad intentions. The problem with the Muslim Ummah is they've got no intentions. And he made a few examples. It's so beautiful. And there's a lot of examples, but he made three examples. He said that if a man goes in the morning out to go and work for his family, but he goes with the intention, I'm going to work to please Allah, for the sake of Allah. And I want to earn halal income. And my intention is to help the masjid, to help the poor, to help the needy, the orphans. Then Allah will, listen to this, Allah will reward him for every day's work. Now, we are missing out. So just imagine you had intention every day and you work for 50 years. For that 50 years, 8 hours that you work every day, Allah will reward you. He made another example. He says, if the wife at home and the mother at home, she does the cooking and she cleans the house and she does the washing and everything the woman does for us. But to please Allah, to make her children happy, to make her husband happy for the sake of Allah, then Allah will reward that woman for every day that she does for the family. But we're missing out because there's no intentions. And he said to us, you as students, if you come to university every day with the intention that one day you're going to serve Allah's deen, you're going to call people to Allah, then Allah rewards you for every day sitting in the class, for every minute that you sit in the class. So the question remains, what is my goal for Ramadan? And the answer to that is, my goal is Allah. My goal is to make sure that Allah is going to be happy with me at the end of Ramadan. Allah is going to be pleased with me. Allah is going to be satisfied with me. That is my goal for the month of Ramadan. So remember, my beloved brothers and sisters, that most of the Muslims of the world, they are fasting. And most of them are making Salatul Taraweeh. So what am I going to do more special and more extraordinary to achieve my goal of the month of Ramadan? And that is to make Allah happy with me and pleased with me. How am I going to meet Allah the day of Qiyamah with my Ramadan? Am I going to be one of those who are going to stand out on the day of Qiyamah? I mentioned earlier that my goal for the month of Ramadan is Allah. So for example, if you work for a big company and you say my goal is the CEO, the main guy, the boss of the company. So what does it mean? It means that you want to make sure that the CEO is going to be happy with you. So if the CEO, for example, sees that Mr. Blakey, is that the right pronunciation? Blake or Blakey? Blakey. If the CEO sees that Mr. Blakey is every morning early, he don't waste a minute of the company's time. He does his work with excellence. He stays behind for extra hours. The CEO is going to be so happy. The CEO is going to love him. The CEO is going to increase his wages. The CEO is going to promote him. The CEO is going to speak to the management and to his family. I've got a worker there at home, Mr. Blakey. He's such a good man. Allah. He's going to praise Mr. Blakey. So, walillahil mathalul a'la. To Allah belongs the best of examples. We can't compare examples with Allah. So to Allah belongs the best of examples. But can you imagine if you do that extra work and special things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to mention you to the malaika. Allah is going to boast about you, about Mr. Blakey there from Parkwood, to the malaika. I'm only making use of Mr. Blakey, but all our names will be mentioned by Allah. In a hadith of the Nabi Muhammad alayhi wasalam, the Nabi Muhammad says that Allah loves a person because of the special things he do. Then Allah calls Jibreel alayhi salam, Ya Jibreel, anna uhibbu fulanan fa'ahibba. Jibreel, I love such and such a person, Mr. Blakey there from Parkwood, I love him. And I want you to love him also, Jibreel. And I want you to announce in all the samawat, to all the malaika, that all of them must love him. Allahu Akbar. And I will place in the hearts of the people of the dunya also to love him or to love her. Naam. My dear ones, I am here today to make sure that this Ramadan is going to be our best Ramadan ever. Forget about the past Ramadans. And we must make dua. We mustn't leave it out speaking to Allah. We must make dua and say, Ya Allah, I want this Ramadan to be my best Ramadan, but I need your help. I can't do it alone, Ya Allah. I need your help. Can we remember the hadith of the Nabi Muhammad with Mu'adh ibn Jabal? The Nabi took Mu'adh. Mu'adh was a young man of 18 years old. And Rasulullah put Rasulullah's hand and fingers into his hand and fingers like this and look him into his eyes and said, Mu'adh, wallahi, I swear by Allah, I love you for the sake of Allah. Look at how the Nabi Muhammad wanted to give advice to a young man. And the Nabi Muhammad said to him, Ya Mu'adh, and I'm going to advise you, don't forget to say after each and every salah, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadat. Oh Allah, help me to remember you. Help me to be grateful to you. We spoke about being grateful. And help me to make ibadah in the most beautiful way. And that includes Ramadan. It includes Ramadan. Oh Allah, grant me that I must, this Ramadan is going to be my best Ramadan ever. And just before we go further, Jamaat Muslimin, this is just a reminder how we need to speak to people, how we need to speak to our children. If you want to give your child advice or your grandchild, don't tell him, hey, say, come sit here. Wat het mos het jy nou weer aangevang? Harsh words. No, no, no. Do what Rasulullah has done. Put your hands and fingers in the hands of your daughter or your son or your grandchild and say to him, my child, I just want to remind you, there's nobody in the world that loves you more than me. But I want to advise you, my child. And say also, I love you for the sake of Allah. Follow the example of Rasulullah. I love you for the sake of Allah. And I'm repeating, there's no one in the world that loves you more than me. But this is my advice, inshallah. We take heed and lessons from our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So yes, I'm here, inshallah, to motivate each and everyone and myself first, that this Ramadan be the best Ramadan for us ever. And wallahi, my dear ones, believe me, that all the words and advice that I'm sharing with you today, it doesn't come from me. When I was preparing myself this morning, it just come from above, from Allah subhanahu, because Allah wants me to speak to you to make sure that this is not going to be just another Ramadan. It's going to be the best Ramadan ever. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. So inshallah, the special things that we need to do in this Ramadan is to increase, to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu. And this is not from me, this is from the Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. The Nabi Muhammad said to us, increase to do four things in the month of Ramadan. Increase, first of all, to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear testimony that there's no one that's got the right to be worshipped except Allah. Some ulama say it's okay to say just la ilaha illallah, but I prefer personally to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, because right through the year, when we do that dhikr, we say la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. But in the month of Ramadan is special. And the fact that the Nabi Muhammad mentioned increase to do the shahada to Allah ilaha illallah, the Nabi will use that word shahada. So in the month of Ramadan, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Do it 500 times per day. Do it 1,000 times. Something special. 2,000 times. It must be special, extraordinary, so that Allah can speak to Allah's malaika and say, that slave of me there, my sister Khadija there in Parkwood or in Cape Town. See, this year, she said 2,000 times, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. You know what must mean? When I was in Yemen a few years ago, when I went to the masjid, the brother showed me a person there in the corner. And I'm not sure about the number. Up till today, I'm not sure. Allah knows this. So I'm not sure if he told me, that brother, part of his dhikr every day is 10,000 times, La ilaha illallah. 10,000 times. The other number that I'm not sure of, it might be that they told me he does every day 100,000, La ilaha illallah. So I'm not sure, but let us must stick to 10,000. 10,000 every day, La ilaha illallah. Not only Ramadan, every day. The second thing that we need to make sure that this is going to be the best Ramadan and we're going to achieve our goal. Our goal is Allah. Our goal is that Allah be pleased with us and Allah be happy with us and satisfied with us. So the second point, inshallah, to that great achievement and goal is to increase to say Astaghfirullah. Once again, this is the advice of the Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Increase in the month of Ramadan to say, oh Allah, please forgive me. Oh Allah, maaf. I'm sorry, I apologize. That is all the meanings of Astaghfirullah. In another hadith, the Nabi Muhammad says alayhi salatu wasalam, Man lazim al-istighfara, whosoever continuously asks Allah forgiveness, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَمِنْ كُلِّ ضِيكٍ مَخْرَجًا وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍّ فَرَجًا وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will give you, Allah will remove all your worries and your problems. And Allah will remove your anxiety. And Allah will give you rizq. Jaysali can imagine, vafran kum di rizq ni. Allahu Akbar. Allah says again about Nabi Nuh, that Nabi Nuh told his people, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدَكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Nabi Allah says in the Quran that Nabi Nuh told his people, ask Allah forgiveness, because if you're going to do that in abundance, Allah will send lots of rain, and Allah will increase your wealth, and Allah will increase your children. Sometimes we don't have much faith in the words of Allah or in the words of the Nabi Muhammad alayhi wasalam. And so, that's why we need these type of gatherings to motivate us. I read many years ago, a brother from Kuwait. Kuwait is Moses, past Saudi Arabia. He says he was in Mecca for Hajj, and the Sheikh spoke about istighfar in one of the masjids in Mecca. And he went to the Sheikh and he said, Sheikh, I'm going to tell you a story about the greatness of asking Allah forgiveness. Me and my wife, we were married for years and we couldn't have children. So I and my wife, we went to the United States of America and all the countries in Europe to go to the best of doctors and specialists, and nothing happened. And we gave up hope. So one day, while I was driving in Kuwait, I heard a lecture on the radio that Allah says that Nabi Nuh told his people, ask Allah forgiveness, Allah will increase you in wealth and in children. I went home, I told my wife, and I said to my wife, we're gonna day and night, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And he said to the Sheikh, alhamdulillah, and then my wife became hamil. And we named the child the name of our beloved Nabi Muhammad. Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. So when your eldest child is Muhammad, your son, then the father is called Abu Muhammad. And the mother is called Ummu Muhammad. So after the first baby and after the nifas, blood, 60 days, woman announced. So Abu Muhammad said to Ummu Muhammad, Ummu Muhammad, we're going to try again now. He's going to say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And they, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And another child came. And after the second child, when the nifas was finished, he said, Ummu Muhammad, we're going to try again. All right, they try again. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The third child came. And after the fourth child, when he went to Ummu Muhammad, Ummu Muhammad said, Abu Muhammad, nee, there is no genoeg. But that is just, wallah, it's a true story. And it happened to so many people. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, so powerful. Now, just imagine the Nabi Muhammad said to us, do the four things. The first two, if you do it, then Allah will be satisfied with you. We just earlier said that our goal is to earn, our goal is to get the satisfaction of Allah. Allah must be happy with us. Allah must be pleased with us. The Nabi Muhammad says, if you do these two things in the month of Ramadan, and you not only do it, you increase, then Allah will be satisfied with you. Allah will be pleased with you, says the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Jamaat Muslimin, the offer is there. Don't be mediocre. Mediocre means many average, we say ordinary. So net 50 astaghfirullah. No, go for 1,000. Go for 2,000 every day. Do it something special. The third point and my advice to earn that goal, our goal must be, we must have a goal in Ramadan. We can't puasa without a goal and an aim. Then it's useless. So the third point that I want to suggest is that we must make sure, inshallah, that this Ramadan is going to be so special. We're going to leave alone and abandon all sins and all wrongdoings. Now sometimes we do things and we think that alhamdulillah ek maak my salah elke dag 5 keer en ek puasa elke maandag en donderdag en ek puasa die maand van Ramadan, dan ding ons dat hy fitna prate, hy treat ons maar net so by the way. Now I'm saying today that we must be so serious to get our goal, because Allah knows everything about us. everything. We mustn't consider speaking bad about other people as much as by the way. No, it's a major sin. Let's just imagine I say to myself, from this Ramadan, I'm not going to speak bad about any Muslim. Allahu Akbar. And I'm not going to allow any other Muslim or person to speak bad about any other Muslim in front of me. Mawlana Tawfiq Ma'roof, mashallah, he had a big janazah. But at the janazah, our Mufti of the MCC, Mawlana Abdul Rahman Khan, said that one of the so many beautiful features of Mawlana Tawfiq is he didn't like and allow anybody to speak and backbite another Muslim in front of him. Allahu Akbar. So we must abandon sins. One of the du'as that we make in the sa'i when we go for Hajj and Umrah, then we say, Allahumma arhamni bi tarkil ma'asi abadan ma abqaitani. Oh Allah, with your mercy, let me leave alone sins and wrongdoings as long as you're going to allow me to still live in this world. Allahu Akbar. Now, Muslim, that is so important. I'm just sharing. Because this life is all about sharing. Don't keep it to yourself. You know, ek surprise some of mense in hulle soos by van die vrouens as hulle kwai 'n resepie het om te maak daai snowballs. You know, met die cream in die middel. And that's one of my favorites, né? Spesiaal as dit fresh cream is, nie die wat se ander cream hulle nou wat hulle verkoop in die winkel. Olie whip. Fresh cream. Dan, you know, it's funny for me that sommige vrouens, hulle hou die resepie, hulle gaat dood met die resepie. No, you must share. So I want to share again that in our masjid, also now for the last year, we do that dua every morning 3 times. Allahumma arhamni bi tarkil ma'asi abadan ma afqaitani. Allah, with your mercy, let me leave alone and abandon all sins. So long as ek nog het lewe. Amen, Ya Rabbal Alamin. So that must be our goal in this Ramadan. I don't want to do anything wrong. And if that is was your intention, but we are human beings. But if you slip up, you again appeal to Allah, oh Allah, please give me maaf. But that is not your intention every day. It's just maybe by the way, you know, that you make a mistake. And Allah is the most of forgiving. That's why the Nabi Muhammad says, alayhi salatu wasalam, ittaqillah haythuma kunt. Fear Allah and be conscious of Allah wherever you are. Whether you are in Cape Town or in Makkah, in Medina, Paris, London, whatever. Whether in Ramadan, festive season, no, you fear Allah. That is your life. وَأَتْبِئِ سَيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُوَا. And if along the way you make a mistake, you follow it up immediately with a good deed, then Allah will remove and wipe out that sin, says the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, my dear ones, the fourth point to that great goal that Allah must be satisfied with us and this be our best Ramadan ever. And that is that we need to change our behavior and character. I'm talking about the bad ones. And many of us, or maybe all of us, we've got our good qualities, but also it must also was the shortcomings. For example, one of our shortcomings was what vinnig kwaad. And that's a big shortcoming, no? One of our shortcomings is our attitude with a wife or the wife with a husband. It's attitudes. And it's not good. This Ramadan is about changing. Ramadan is all about changing your life. Ramadan is not about staying away from eating and drinking. Allah is only using that vehicle to purify you. But that's not the objective of Ramadan, that you must stay away from eating and drinking. That's why the Nabi Muhammad says, alayhi salatu wasalam, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامَ وَشَرَابَهِ. Those who do not leave alone their ugly words and their swear words and their ugly doings, then Allah is not in need of you staying away from eating and drinking. Allah is not in need. So this point is very crucial, changing our character. Or let me say it in a more positive way, to beautify our character. Can you imagine that the Nabi Muhammad says in the hadith, and before I'm going to do the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just love people with beautiful character. And Allah loves them to the extent that Rasulullah says, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ خُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. There's nothing is going to weigh more heavier on your scale on the day of Qiyamah than your beautiful character. We know how heavy our five times salah is going to weigh. The salah is the key to the Jannah. The salah is the pillar of the deen of Allah. We know that how much the salah to Tarawih is going to weigh. We know how much the Hajj is going to weigh on our scales. The day of Arafah, Allah forgive all our sins. We know how much the Ramadan fasting is going to weigh, because then Allah says in the hadith, all the other good deeds belong to people, but fasting belongs to me and I will reward. That is how great fasting is. Even our dhikrullah, even a simple dhikr like Subhanallah, bihamdi, Subhanallah, azim, says Rasulullah, is going to weigh heavy on your scale. But listen what Rasulullah says, nothing is going to weigh more heavy on your scales than your beautiful character. That beautiful character that the husband has with his wife, and the wife with the husband, and with your neighbors, and with all the people in the world, is going to weigh more heavier than your salah, your fasting, your hajj, and your dhikrullah, and the reading of the Quran. That is the status of beautiful character. Allahu Akbar. So may Allah grant us the best of character. Allah even describes, but before I go that, I want to make sure, inshallah, that Allah grant, for example, us as men and the women, that I must be the best husband to my wife. And our sisters must be the best wife to your husband. I must be the best father in the world, the best mother, the best neighbor. That is the reason why Allah has created us. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test you, that's the reason why Allah created us, to test who of you are going to be the best. And the Nabi Muhammad says in the hadith, وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِمْ. And the best of you, men, husbands, are those who are the best to the women that you are married to. Jamaat Muslimin, this is a special gathering today. This is, inshallah, it must be a turning point in our lives. And I'm serious when I speak about being the best husband in the world for your wife. The Nabi Muhammad said to us on the day of Arafah, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي نِسَائِكُمْ. Fear Allah. Be conscious of Allah in how you live with your wife. And so the Nabi Muhammad said on the day of Arafah, look on the day of Arafah, only the most important words are being said. So the Nabi Muhammad said, and the reason why I'm saying to you, my brothers, the men of the world, to fear Allah in how you live with your wife, is because for two reasons. The first reason, says the Nabi Muhammad, Allah has made your wife's private parts, her most private parts, permissible for you and for you alone. Your wife is haram on all the men in the world. She's even, her whole body is haram for her father, her brothers, her uncles, everybody. You the only one that Allah has granted permission, her whole body, including her private parts. And the second reason, says the Nabi Muhammad, that Allah has placed your wife in your hands as an amanah. And you are going to stand accountable and responsible in front of Allah for that amanah. And if you have abused that amanah, if you did abuse your wife, say to her the most ugliest of words. And I don't even want to mention men that are physically abusing their wives. You might get away here in this South Africa in the law or any country, but you won't get away the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. You will stand accountable in front of Allah. So may Allah grant us to be the best men in the world. The Nabi Ali said to Islam was the greatest leader. Ik zie het al 2 o'clock, kan ik me nog praten? Jamaa, kan ik nog praten? Oké. Ik ga denk misschien die mannen is limited. But alhamdulillah, daar was niks lunch vandag nie, so ons kan maar praat, inshallah. So the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the greatest leader. And the greatest leader had to say the greatest of words and the most important of words. Because what is the use that you can have beautiful character with all the people in the world? And the people at work, they know you as a man, oh, like Mr. Gabriel's, nee, die man sa gaate, top class, top class. The neighbors, Mr. Gabriel sa gaate, nee, fair praat. But inside his house, he's got the ugliest character with his wife. It doesn't make sense. So the Nabi Muhammad had to say to us, because the real you is proven in your house, not outside there. Because beter kan jy mos nice wees met mense. An example wat ek altyd maak is, die man sit in sy office, to bring a teagle from a cup of tea, and to spill the tea in the pirinkie. And so say, I'm sorry, Mr. Gabriels. So say, Mr. Gabriels, no, Caroline, you don't need to be sorry, darling. I know you're tired, sweetheart. Daar sê vir Caroline, vanaand kom hy huis toe, so bring sy vrou vir my kopie tee, and the same thing happen. Toe wat sê vir sy vrou? Is jy walams? Is jy gebreklik? Is jy stupid? Jy kan nie eens 'n B kopie tee reg dra nie, 'n B kopie tee. En sommige mans gebruik even die F woord, jy kan nie sy F kopie tee reg dra nie. Astaghfirullah. No, no, the best of you are those who are the best to the woman that you are married to. So broers, inshallah, van die Ramadan, achter Ramadan, inshallah, elke sara oggend, dan sê jy vir die vrou, my darling, moet nie opstaan die kooi achter Fajr nie. Ek gaat veel breakfast maak. And I'm going to be breakfast in bed. En dan vat jy een mooie lappie, sê dit op die tray. Prepare die breakfast, you know. Al wat ek kan doen is, wat is die eiers wat jy so goed is, mix? Omlet, ek kan omlet maak en sikke goed is, you know. En toast die brood en een lekker kopie tea. Een van die way ek koffie vir my vrou maak is, ek gooi die koffie in met die suiker, en dan klits ek het so vir 5 minute. 5 minute, ja. Tot het cream is. En dan gooi ek die water in die melk, en het proe dit soos cappuccino. But as van liefde. But we need to do these things. We do it extraordinary. I'm coming back to the hadith of the Nabi Muhammad alayhi wasallam. There's nothing going to weigh more heavy in your scale of day of Qiyamah than your beautiful character. So once again, ons maak dua, Allah moet vergun vir ons. The best of character, Amin, Rabbil Alameen. Now, what must mean, I must admit, we spoke about our women and our ladies, and they are special. They are the most special people. That's why the Nabi Muhammad says, the best of you are those who are the best to the mothers of the world. Because Allah has honored the mothers of the world, and Allah has put the Jannah beneath the feet of the mothers. So I've learned from another mother, Dr. Haifa, and she's in the United States of America, but I think her origin is either Lebanese or Jordanian, one of the Arab countries. She says, do something in the month of Ramadan, something special, something extraordinary. Say to yourself, I want to experience at least one night in the month of Ramadan of what Rasulullah did, to stand up most of the night in ibadah. Allahu Akbar. Totdat die Nabi Muhammad se voete opgeswel het. This doctor, inshallah, I'm going to try this Ramadan. I haven't done it before. I've learned from a mother, Dr. Haifa. I'm going to try it this year, inshallah. And I encourage everybody to do it. Our goal is to get the satisfaction of Allah. Allah must be pleased with us. We've got a goal. She says, so experience what the Nabi Muhammad did every night, to stand up most of the night, totdat die Nabi Muhammad se voete opgeswel het, Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Aisha, out of pity, she says, Ya Rasulullah, why must you do all this? وَقَدْ غَفْرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَخَرَ. Allah has forgiven, if you have done, Nabi Muhammad niks verkeerd gedoen nie. But if you have done something wrong, Allah has already forgiven. And whatever you're going to do in the future, Allah has forgiven you. Why must you still do this? So the Nabi Muhammad said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I be grateful and thankful to Allah? That's the same you must say. As my vrou my gaat sê, Ibrahim, hoe kom dit nie? Jy werk al in die community al vir 36 jaar. Dan gaat ek vir my vrou sê, it's out of gratefulness to Allah, that Allah has granted me to be a Muslim, that I'm part of the Ummah of Rasulullah, out of thankfulness. Another thing that I learned from Dr. Haifa, she says many years ago, she made itikaf in Makkah. She made itikaf in Makkah. And next to her was another lady. She says every night that lady would read whole night, reading the Quran and standing salah whole night. So the 29th night, when she noticed, they're not saying, As-salatu al-qiyam athabakum Allah. That is most indication of no salatu tarawih mark. After the salatu al-isha, they didn't make that announcement. She said that lady burst out of tears. She cried like a mother would cry that have lost a baby or a child. She cried, Ya Allah, the Ramadan is finished. Allahu Akbar. Allah must grant also us that level of iman and that level of closeness and appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear ones, in conclusion, I want to say that the way that I end off my Jumu'ah every week for 36 years, that the Nabi Muhammad says, Kullu bani Adam khatta'un. Each and every child of Nabi Adam makes mistakes and wrongdoings. But the best of them are those who return to Allah. Once again, I want to say with pride and honor that our Nabi Muhammad was the greatest leader. The Nabi Muhammad had for niemand afgeskreef nie. He always motivated. People will tell you, Buta, het jy nog nie reg gekom nie? Jy is al 40, jy is al nooit reg gekom nie, man. Jy is al 40 jaar oud al. Astaghfirullah. That's not a hadith. That's woorde van die shaitan. Even if you are 140 years old and you want to return to Allah, Allah will receive you with open arms. Now the other night we heard in the Quran, in the Taraweeh, Allah says, Inna al-munafiqina fi darki al-asfali min al-nar. The munafiqin, the hypocrites, they are the worst of people. Allah, they are going to be the lowest in the lowest in Jahannam, the lowest. Allah is worse off than the Christ, kafirin, the munafiqin. And then Allah says, Illa alladhina tabu. Except those munafiqin who return to Allah. So that is, Allah speaks about the munafiqin. Now what about you as a Muslim, a believer in Allah, you have done wrong. And this message mustn't stay with us. Because there are so many people out here in Cape Town, and here in Parkwood, in Grassy Park. Hulle ding, hulle lewe is klaar. Hulle kom nie masjid toe nie. Hulle wil niks doen nie. Hulle sê, daar is niks wat hulle kan doen nie. Hulle het te veel verkeerde dinge gedoen. They are just waiting for you and for me to take them by the hand and say that Allah is waiting for you. If you give one step to Allah, Allah will give 10 steps to you. If you come walking to Allah, Allah will come running to you. They're waiting for us. And just imagine if we can succeed in bringing one person back to Allah. Allahu Akbar. The reward is so major. So, and then whenever I read this hadith of the Nabi Muhammad alayhi wasalam, then I remind people about the salah. So I want to conclude with that point again. It is possible that everybody here in the masjid are making salah 5 times per day. It's highly possible. I don't know. But my brother or my sister or my mother or my father, if you are here and you are, I'm talking outside Ramadan. In Ramadan, everybody's making salah 5 times. But if you are a person that are not making your 5 times salah, I'm appealing to you. I will go down on my knees to plead to you, make that decision today, that from today onwards, until Allah takes you away from this world, you're not going to miss one salah. And if you're going to do that, you're on your way to success. You're on your way to Jannah. There's a certain hadith that I've learned from my honorable ustaz and my beloved father, Imam Ismail Johnstone, the beloved father of our sister Madaniya Baruchi, and the father of Fakhri Baruchi. I didn't read this hadith in a book, but my ustaz repeated this hadith so many times that I memorized the hadith until today. مَنْ لَقِيَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ مُضِيعٌ لِلصَّلَاةِ لَمْ يَعْبَ إِلَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. Whosoever leaves this world whilst being neglectful with the salah, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah don't want to see you. Allah don't want to meet you. Allah is not interested in all the other good deeds you have done. You could have gone for Hajj every year and go for Umrah every month and fast Mondays and Thursdays and give sadaqah to the poor, not thousands, millions. But on the day of Qiyamah, the Nabi Muhammad says, Allah don't want to see you. And Allah's not interested in good deeds. And the Nabi Muhammad says, that person, because he's a Muslim, is going to stand in the line in the queue of people going to Jannah. And the Malaika, Rasulullah says, no? The Malaika will come to you and say, Buta, Titi, you're standing in the wrong queue. These people are going to Jannah, amma anta. But you, because of your negligence of your salah, your place is here with the kuffar. And the hadith stopped Didani. Rasulullah says, your place is there with the worst of kuffar. Fir'aun, Haman, Ubay bin Khalaf. May Allah protect us, Jamaat Muslimin. There's another long hadith, but my, the time, that I can see the Buddha say, Sheikh, was it said, Sheikh, is right, but Sheikh Haman Uklamak. But there's another hadith that I end off every Friday now in Portland, and it's a guarantee to Jannah. But I'm just going to give the one guarantee. The Nabi Muhammad says, guarantee for me, you're going to lower your gaze. You don't look at haram. Then I will guarantee you the Jannah. And the reason why that one is so important is because many Muslims have got a weakness. They're careless about looking at haram. For example, by many months, maybe in Ramadan, they kick the thrones under the pot, so it means a Wimbledon tennis match and kick. And then worse than that, men and women are looking at pornography and the worst of pornography. Allahu Akbar. May Allah forgive. This Ramadan must be a life-changing Ramadan. You know, I received a video from a sister, also from the United States of America. I don't know her, but I appreciate her. In this video, she says, There's a new epidemic. Epidemic is must a disease that is widespread. So it's not one place, it's widespread all over the world. She says, this epidemic that I'm speaking of is not pornography. It is the addiction to pornography. Allahu Akbar. Addiction. And this was mentioned as drug addicts. They can't do a drug without drugs. Was it also trial, rehab and rehab out and rehab and I can't help only, he's addicted to drugs. There are people that are addicted to pornography. Jamaat Muslimin, this is very serious. If you were a person that used to look at pornography sometimes or many times, this is your moment. This is your moment to never ever look at pornography. And the beauty of the month of Ramadan is Allah is saying to us, my slaves, forget about the past. Whatever you've done in the past, this is Ramadan. I've opened the doors of mercy and forgiveness. I've forgiven all your sins. Ya salam. That's why the Nabi Muhammad went on the mimbar and said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, this is something strange. You never did this before. Why didn't you say Ameen, Ameen? Nabi Muhammad said, Jibreel alayhi salam was here. And he made dua. And he said, any person that gets his mother or his father or both in their old age and they don't go to Jannah, may the curse of Allah be on them. And I said, Ameen, may Allah accept. And may the curse be on the person that hear my name, Muhammad. And he don't say, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the third one is, may the curse be on the person, he got the month of Ramadan, but in the end of the Ramadan, he was not forgiven. Ya Allah, may Allah forgive us. So, Jamaat Muslimin, shukran for having me here. My last advice is to this beautiful community is that the color of the mirror must be changed with now. The mirror needs a repaint. This is the house of Allah. And I'm serious about it. We must look after the house of Allah. The house of Allah must be, people when come, they must feel comfortable. It must be soothing to the eyes. Details is van malls van 30 jaar geleden. Ons moet change the tiles, moet hier met, as Molana hier staan, hier met a railing wees, van Molana, you know, lekker, ons moet, verstaan Molana wat ek trying to say? Inshallah, inshallah. So we must work on it, inshallah. We are now busy with our masjid, inshallah. And enige persoon wat contribute naar die masjid, and the upking of the masjid, Allah will build for your palace in Jannah. Allah will build for your palace in Jannah. It's good that I make now this point now, because my intention is I almost forgot to remind the brothers and sisters that the Nabi Muhammad says, alayhi salatu wasalam, preserve 12 rakat sunnah salah for the day, then Allah will build for your palace in Jannah. The 2 rakat sunnah that we normally make before Fajr, like 3, Fajr. 4 before Dhuhr, 2 and 2. And the reason why I'm saying is that my experience is most Muslims, they only make 2 rakat sunnah salah before Dhuhr. And I would love you to inshallah, to remember this hadith and have the attitude of a person like Buta Ahmad Clark. The Ahmad Clark was from Ocean View. My Tama Ningali in Karasi Park, where his daughter says. The Ahmad Clark said to me, Sheikh, since I heard that hadith that you told us, I never ever missed the extra 2 rakat sunnah salah before Dhuhr. Just imagine, the Nabi Muhammad says, if you make that 12 rakats for the day, Allah will build for your palace in Jannah. So it's 4 before Dhuhr, and 2 after Dhuhr, and the 2 after Maghrib, and the 2 after Isha. So there are other sunnahs, you mustn't leave it out. For example, 2 rakats before Asr, and 2 before Isha. Or you can even make 4 before Asr. The Nabi Muhammad says, Rahim Allah Mra'an. May Allah have mercy on the person that make 4 rakat sunnah salah before Asr. You know, I went to Tarim. I had a few times in Tarim to in Yemen. Also Sheikh Habib Umar is there. So he invited us for lunch. So even the lunch is a learning experience. It's a spiritual experience. Because while they're waiting for the food, Habib Umar will sit there and say, Imam Ridwan, this whole hadith, Mawlana Dawud, I'm a little kitab rechal, because he will ask read a tafsir van die ayah van die Quran, read go van die awliya, salikhin, die salik wat gedoen het. So on that day, a person read that, once again a mother, Rabitul Adawiyah, Rabitul Adawiyah, she used to make between a day and night 1,000 rakaat sunnah salah. 1,000. Now, ek sê nie ons moet 1,000 maak. Or you must start with extras. And listen to this. And Rabitul Adawiyah, in the last years of her life, she digged her own grave. And in the grave, she read thousands of khatams of the Quran. So ons moet nie sikkel om sunnah salah te maak nie. For elke sujood wat a mens maak, raise Allah for you a daraja hura in the Jannah. Allahu Akbar. And the Nabi Muhammad says, when Allah is going to, the first thing that Allah is going to question us day of Qiyamah is your salah. And as you kot kom in your fard salah, that out of the mercy of Allah, look at the mercy of Allah. Allah says, ya malaika, kijk gewoon zijn sunnah salah. To make up for his fard salah. Allahu Akbar. So, Jamaat Muslimin, ik heb nog bij lang gepraat, but it was a pleasure to be here. And may Allah grant that as we've gathered here today, that Allah gather us in Jannah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillah, we say shukran alfun, shukran kathiran to our beloved and honored Sheikh Ibrahim Gabriel. Alhamdulillah, definitely we have gotten something to take home. Ons kan nie die hele lesson hou nie, but there is portions of it that you can take home. I've written down one hadith, the Tarakul Ma'asi. I've written it down, Sheikh, so that I can learn it for the morning and for Fajr and so on, alhamdulillah. And yes, so all of us can benefit from this talk. It was so invigorating and educational, alhamdulillah. We can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Sheikh long health and strength, inshallah, to always be of service to the community, inshallah. And Allah must grant that Sheikh come back to our masjid so many more times, inshallah. And there's not words that we can say shukr enough to Sheikh for his wisdom, for his knowledge that he's sharing with us, alhamdulillah. Ander plek gaat hij bij je dier betaal voor die experience en die knowledge. Alhamdulillah, here we're getting it for free. All we have to do is spend the time in the company of our honored Sheikh, alhamdulillah. Jamaatul Muslimin, alhamdulillah. We say shukran to everybody also for attending the classes, alhamdulillah. I'm very happy to see the amount of people, because imagine was it a man van Sheikh's caliber en als net 10 mensen in my seat. It would have been nice, but alhamdulillah, because Sheikh doesn't need any introduction, And therefore, alhamdulillah, great response. Shukran for the Jama'ah also for being here, alhamdulillah. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us the best of this Ramadan, as Sheikh has said. And may we increase in our istighfar and the other adhkar that Sheikh has taught us, alhamdulillah. For me, it was a whole learning experience, alhamdulillah. If you have the note nog aan valid wisni, is Assalam Sheikh, reference CF37162 Apollo, blocking driveway, reverse to the back canal. Shukran. I cannot tell you, the lesson was too good. I can't even say disturb it. So, inshallah, we say shukran to the Jama'ah and we say shukran. Ons kan nie sê water of hoe jy dit sien. But we say shukran, alfun shukran Sheikh. May Allah Ta'ala grant Sheikh the best of health, inshallah. And may Allah Ta'ala save Sheikh's family for so many years to be with us, inshallah. Shukran, jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Ya Mustafa, kullu shayin lillah.
Ya nuran min nurillah.
Ya Mustafa.